Morning. Good to see everyone out on this great Sunday before Thanksgiving. Looking forward to this upcoming week, and all of y'all that's in the school system will be really excited. Don't have to go to work or school, I guess. Maybe you have to go to work, I don't know. Some do. But still a great time of year. Looking forward to it. And remember, tonight will be our Thanksgiving meal, soup and salad here at the church. So don't forget that. I always look forward to that. So exciting things going on, a great time of year. By the way, a prayer request, I ask you to continue to remember my mother, remember Maldy, Janelle, she's doing better at home. And so just remember all those. And do we have any more we need to remember this morning? Can you remember her? Asking, can you remember our cancer ministry that we're getting close to being done with our training, or closer? Remember that. And remember all those. It's a tough time of year on a lot of people. Depression is really rough this time on a lot of people that's lost their loved ones and different things. So pray for them. God knows all of them. And let's just this morning just truly have a great time of Thanksgiving and praising the Lord this morning for what he's done for each and every one of us. If you're here this morning, you can truly say you're blessed. You live in the best nation on earth. I still believe that. You in one of the best communities on earth. I do believe that. And thank God for where he's placed us and what he's done for us this morning. Any other prayer requests? Amen. No others? We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. You've given us another great day of life. God, we thank you for each one that come out this morning. God, we ask that you let us take this time, that we'll use it to honor and to glorify the name of Jesus. Father, we'll worship him in spirit and in truth. And God, I ask you to touch each prayer request as made known. God, we ask that you work according to your perfect will. And Lord, help us to, we'll never understand the way you do things, but God, help us to know that there's peace in trusting that we serve a righteous, holy, perfect God. So, Lord, as we come this morning, let our singers sing praises for no other reason than honor and glorify the name of Jesus. As it comes preaching hour, I pray you give me the words to preach. Help us to apply it to our hearts and lives. These blessings we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
You ever seen? We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe.
Good to see everyone out, and great, glad to have you with us at New Harmony Baptist Church. And let's just take this time and truly worship the Lord and be thankful. And I heard a message this week about perception. A lot of times our thankfulness can come from perception of how we see things. Said there was two old boys that lived in Wyoming, and Wyoming was offering $5,000 a wolf if you could kill wolves and you could bring them to the people, and they'd give you $5,000, the wildlife people would. So these two old boys, Sam and George, went out wolf hunting. They went out into the woods, and they were going to find them some wolves, and they put them a tent up, and about 1 o'clock in the morning, Sam woke up, and he was surrounded by 50 hungry, starving wolves. They was everywhere. Everywhere he looked was a starving wolves with those big, red, mean eyes and big old teeth. He woke his friend up and said, "Get up, George, we rich." Y'all must not find that as funny as I did. But our thankfulness can come from perception of who, not the situation we're in, but who God is. And this morning, I truly want to take some time, and y'all know I don't always get to preach on things that go along with the seasons, but today we are. And I truly, the title of the sermon is Be Thankful. Very simple, be thankful. And I catch myself a lot of times focusing on my circumstances instead of on who God is. If we truly believe God for who He says He is, then we should be thankful all the time. There's no reason not to be thankful. He's in complete control. There's nothing can come against Him He doesn't know about. So we should be at peace knowing that we serve a God who is in complete control. One thing we can't stand is to feel like we're out of control. And I want to enlighten you about something. You're not in control of anything. God's in control of everything. and we get that down, maybe we can begin to be thankful. In Psalms chapter 100, verse number 4 is where we're going to focus, but I know I didn't tell them this. I'm going to read a few more verses. I always have to do this, but Psalms 100 is not very long. If you would stand, reading of God's Word, 5 verses I'm going to read to you. So you just keep 4 up there, because we're going to focus on that one. But these 5 verses, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singings. Know you not that the Lord, He is God, and that He hath made us, and not we ourselves. We're His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Father, we thank You for this word today. God, we ask You to open our hearts and minds today, that as we're in this Thanksgiving season, that we'll truly, truly understand what it means to be thankful for not just what You've given us, but God, mostly what You've done for us, and who You are, and what You have promised us, and what You have guaranteed us, and the things that cannot be taken away, that life can't take away from us. God, we thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So on this thought, I put down a few things this morning that I believe the Bible teaches we can be thankful for. I got 4 things here, and I'm going to try to be fast because I know we've got a busy day, as y'all got to get home and cook so y'all can feed me tonight. And by the way, soups and sandwiches does include turkey and dressing and all that stuff. And you just bring what the Lord lays on your heart, and I hope it's macaroni and cheese. But be thankful. I begin thinking about these things that I'm thankful for, and the first one is I'm thankful for life. I'm thankful for life. Now, many people begin, they let life get too hard for them, and this comes from looking at our circumstances and not thinking about who God is, but I'm so thankful that God gave me life. He allowed me to live. I'll never understand why He chose to create me, Terry. And on top of that is after He created me and knew all the faults I was going to have, He decided I needed a redeemer. He decided I needed a way to be back in reconciliation with Him. And by the way, this life was lost. In the fall in the garden, life of humanity was done away with. You understand that this morning? Life was gone. This great gift that God had given of having given His own self even, of having people to communicate with. It was taken in that garden when the old serpent beguiled Eve. And Adam and they eat that fruit and life was gone, but he sought to give us this life, and not only to give it to us, but give it to us eternal. Man, is that not great this morning? And listen, John chapter 10 verse 28, it said, "I have given to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now listen, there is something about being thankful about being secure this morning. If I ask you the one thing that people strive for, you strive to be secure. You want to be secure in your faith. You want to be secure in your family. You want to be secure in your health and in your finances. And Lord knows we all struggle that one probably pretty bad. But we desire to be secure in something. But listen, once we get this down, this verse right here, he says, "I give unto them eternal life." In other words, it's forever. Nobody can take it. There's not a thing can snatch it out of their hand. No matter what comes against them, whether health crisis or financial crisis or anything, I give them eternal life. Do you understand who's saying that this morning? It's the Almighty God. I began thinking as I was up beside my mother's bed last night, as she's getting pretty low right now, and I began thinking about all the thoughts begin coming back about Mama. And began thinking about the life she had lived, and no doubt she wasn't perfect, or she is not perfect. And I began thinking about what lies ahead for her. And listen, I believe the Word of God teaches that we have a home prepared by an Almighty God that's far beyond what we can conceive here. And listen, we should be thankful about all forms of life. About all forms of life that God lets us. But that eternal life is something that we should praise Him for, and we should be happy about it. And listen, it don't begin at death even. Eternal life begins the moment we receive Christ. We become an eternal being. We will live forever because He is forever. He's always been. He always will be. Don't ask me to explain that. It makes my head hurt. I can't even fathom it, but I do believe it, that God has always been. And He always will be. And nothing, because He is all powerful, nothing will ever snatch me out of His hand. There's nothing. Hey, I'm telling you, the Bible teaches that there's not a single thing. You may say, well, this cancer, it can do bad things to me. Yes, it can. It can kill your body. It can get you down to a place where you don't even look like your own self. But may I tell you, it cannot get you eternal life. It cannot get it. It can't do it. It can't touch it one little bit. Life eternal. And next, life abundantly. He says, I give them life. I come to give them life and to give it more abundantly. Now, that means he come to give us a full life. And listen, church, many times we get down, we get the mully grubs, we get all beside ourselves when things are not right, but he come to give you a life abundant. And for us to understand abundant life, we got to understand who we're serving today. The Bible says, I just read you that verse, we didn't create ourselves, he created us, he made us in a perfect image, in a perfect way, and this God come to give me abundant life. That's the reason Jesus came. He didn't just come just to save me from hell. That's the best thing he did. But the reason he came is to give me life and give it abundantly. He wants me to have a great life and a full life and not a life that is full of fear. And I struggle with that one. Abundant life. A secure life. I done pretty much covered that one pretty good. But he come to give me life as it was first designed. Life, the way he first designed it to be. Now, I want you to think about this, and we can't fathom this in our mind, because we've never saw a generation that was not fallen. All we've ever seen was corrupt generations, because we ourselves live in the flesh. Now, we know the Spirit of God abides in us and dwells in us if we are saved. The Bible teaches that the Spirit of God indwells us. It says, know you not that your body is a temple? Now, listen, we know that much purity about God, but we've never saw a generation that was pure. Adam was a perfect being. He was created perfect. By the way, he needed a helpmate. And God gave him a woman. Now we joke all the time and say, boy, that's when things went wrong, wasn't it, Rudy? We joke about that, and I'm getting an ugly look. I better move forward. But we joke about it, and we say, oh, if that woman hadn't have come. If she hadn't have come, then the fall would never happen. That's not true. Adam, I believe he should have been protecting that wife. We could fuss about this and go on about this all day. But the fall came. But before that, life as it was designed. He lived in a perfect place. He had a perfect environment. He had a perfect, would never been sick, death would never came upon him. He lived in completely a perfect environment. And you and I today, once our spirit is saved, our soul is saved, we're guaranteed for that perfect environment once again. Now we have to live out this life in the flesh, and God has a reason for everything that happens to us, and he has to allow anything that happens to us. If you get cancer today, does God cause it? No, God allows it. Why? I can't understand that. And I cannot tell you why. And a lot of things I can't tell you. Why did you have to lose loved ones? I can't tell you that. I can't tell you a lot of things that you've went through in your life and why you went through them. But one thing I can assure you is God came to give you that life more abundantly just as the way he designed it before the fall. How great it must have been and how great it will be, this thing called life. Do you understand that each day is a gift? You can spend money and buy a lot of things, but one thing you cannot get back is time. You cannot get back time. I don't care who you are, you can build a time machine, you think, if you want to, but you cannot change time. And by the way, a time with God is something that don't exist. He don't know what time is. He's always, time is not something that, we are held back by time. Because we're going to turn around, if you're 20 years old today, and you're going to turn around one day and you're going to be old as Pat, 110. And life flies by. The Bible teaches that life is just a vapor. Life is just a vapor. It's here for a little while, and then it's gone. But what a blessing this thing called life is. And what a blessing it is to get to be alive and to see the things that God's created and to know that he did this just for you. He give you life. If you wake up in the morning, you open your eyes, you ought to say, God, thank you for this gift. Thank you for this gift of life. I don't care what situation you're found in, what shape you're in, how many aches and pains you have. If you wake in the morning and God had given you the blessing of one more breath, you should praise his name. Thank you, Lord, for life. So I'm thankful this morning for life. It's very simple, ain't it? Life is something we take for granted so much until you start getting a little older. Now, some of y'all that's older than me, I joke with you all the time, but I begin seeing where life begins changing you. As you get older, you understand something. If time goes natural, you don't have as much left. I've heard people put it as in quarters as a football game. When you're a certain age, you're in the first quarter. Certain age, you're in second quarter. You go through halftime. You go through third quarter, fourth quarter. And if you're past, you're in overtime. No, the Bible teaches. After 70 years, I believe we're on what we would aggravate and say overtime. God don't promise us how many years, but God promises eternal life if we've received His Son as Savior. So I'm thankful for life. Secondly, and moving on, I'm thankful for love. For love. You say, oh my goodness, preacher's getting sappy this morning. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and know God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. My friend, this morning, if you are sitting there on that bench and you tell me you love me, but you have no idea who God is, you don't know His Son, you've never received Him as Savior, then let me tell you something. You cannot love me. You cannot love your wife. You cannot love your mate and your neighbor. You cannot love a stranger. You cannot love the people in Africa or any other country, whoever you thought about. And whatever you say you love, you cannot love unless you know God, for God is love. And the reason that I'm able to love my family is because I know God. The reason I'm able to love you is because I know God. And the reason I'm able to know God, bless God, is because it says He first loved me. He loved me and He gave His Son a ransom for me. And because of that, I too can know love. I can know what love is. Now, I may completely never understand or comprehend that agape love that God has. That's the love that God has. Well, we cannot fathom it. It's far beyond the oceans. And if the ocean was ink, you could not write it. It's that much love He has for us. But listen, I can get a little glimpse of it and understand that the Bible says that true love is a man who would lay his life down for his friends. You may have somebody you love. Would you lay your life down for them? This is hard. I'm thankful for love that is given. He gave it freely. Oh, it cost Him a bunch, but to me it was free. He said, I give unto you eternal life. And I give you this love that I have, and it's given freely. But listen, not only is love given, love is proven by the death of Jesus Christ for my sins. The love that He had for mankind, that He would send His precious, only begotten Son to die for a lost and an undone generation and a people who does not a lot of times appreciate it and mocked Him and plucked out His beard and all these things. He sent His Son to die for them, and not only for them, but for you also. And that's the love He has for you. And He's proven that love on the cross. I've heard people say, well, I don't know if God loves me. I know God, and I've heard people say, well, I need God to prove it. And I've been guilty of this myself, of driving down the road and needing God to answer something, say, God, let me see this, let me see that, let me see that. And you know what I've always found? Any time that I desire of God to show me some kind of sign, I'm just like Gideon, I'm never satisfied. I say, let me see one more. You know what Gideon did? He said, God, if you want me to do that, I put a fleece out, and God answered that prayer, and God put another one out. And guess what? Gideon was never really satisfied with that thing, and so God let somebody go along with him. That's grace and mercy. We're never satisfied until we trust God through faith. So I'm thankful for love that's given, love that's proven, love that cannot be dissolved by any means. Love is a word that's badly misused in today's time. We'll get about 15 or 16 years old or 13 or 12, whatever age they do at this time, and we'll get a little girlfriend or boyfriend, and we'll say, oh, I love them. Oh, I love that. That's the love of my life. The next one come along that looks a little bit better than they do, and we've all of a sudden we find a brand new love. And before long, in 2 weeks' time, we don't even know what their name was. This word is so misused. But love that cannot be dissolved by any means. Nothing I ever do will make Him not love me. Nothing I can say to Him, nothing I can do, I can fall back into any sin, and He will still love me. He'll still love me. I think the closest thing we understand to this is our children. I say this a lot of times. How many in here has got children? Raise your hand. How many of them children has ever done anything wrong? How many of y'all can remember it all? but you still love them. You see, you forget that. As those children will do that to you, you cannot recall everything they've ever done. And God's got a mind. God can recall it. But listen, He forgives it. He washes it away and He does away with it. He never remembers it anymore. But even me, that's how a little bit I can understand the love of God that can never be dissolved. As bad as my kids could be, they could steal money from me. They could burn my house down. They could do all these bad things to me. But I believe I would still love them. Because listen, they come from us. And we can't even begin to explain the love we first feel. I remember when Amberly was born and I was there in that hospital room as she came out, and boy, at that moment, Pat, that was the prettiest thing in the world. I look back on them pictures today and not so much. She's a little weird looking. Head was kind of like a cone. But hey, as I was holding my arms, there's big old tears running down. And I was thinking, boy, this is the best thing that I've ever seen. This is the most beautiful thing I've ever put in my arms, and I don't know what to do. All I could do was cry. And listen, at that moment, I began to understand just a little bit about what we are to God. Just a little bit, but I can't scratch the surface. Nothing them girls can ever do would make me not love them. Nothing I ever do will make God not love me. It's a love that cannot be dissolved by any means. Next, I'm about to really get some looks. I'm thankful for the love of our wives, the love of our wives, the love of our husbands, the love we have for family, the love we have for one another. I'm thankful for it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. You keep going on this and in this verse, if you can get this thing down, family life will be okay. Listen, we are so guilty as men of saying, I would give anything for my family. I would do this for my family. I would do that for my family. I would do anything you can think of for my family. And the truth be known, we don't even love our wives as we should, because we love as our own selves. We would never do anything to harm them. We would put them before ourselves. We'd put them before everything in the world. So listen, I'm thankful for this, but boy, do I have it wrong a lot of times. But I'm thankful that I can love my wife. I'm thankful that I can love my children. I'm thankful that I can love my mom and dad. I'm thankful that I can love my grandparents. You understand what a beautiful gift love is? Outside of life, love is the best thing that we can know. The love. How great it is to come home and all the children be there. And everything is right, and nothing is... boy, them days you come home and the house is clean and all that, and she's happy, there's nothing better, is there, men? Bible teaches about that too, about a nagging woman. We'll go forward. But seriously, I'm happy for the love of our children, the love of our families, and the love of our friends. We'll get together tonight down here in the church fellowship hall, and we'll celebrate Thanksgiving. How thankful we are, it's supposed to be for our church family. Those that are not physically related to us, but spiritually they are. How great it is to be given a love for our friends. It said, if you say you love me and love not your brother, you're a liar. The love of God don't dwell in you. It's impossible to love God and not love people. Impossible. You may say that you love that person, but you just cannot stand to be around them. That's hard to deal with sometimes. But listen, if you truly love that person, you can look over their faults. You can look over their shortcomings. So I'm thankful for love. Next, I'm thankful for laughter. For laughter. You may think this is not important, but I think laughter is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us outside of life and love. Laughter. A merry heart. The Bible teaches a bunch about it. We don't have time to go over all of it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. The worst thing you can do is get this right here, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. You get to a point in your life where you can no longer laugh, you're not much good. You get to a point in your life where laughter is gone, a merry heart is gone, where you're depressed and you're sad, then listen, a life is not too good. It dries up everything. It dries up the complete life of people that are severely depressed. And listen, I know it's real. I know people that's been through it. I may have been through a little of it my own self. I know about what it's about. I'm not saying it's not real, because it is. But when we're in a depressed state, nothing is good. There's nothing good enough. There's nothing that can happen that gets us excited. We don't want to see anything come to pass. We don't care about anybody's life. We don't care about anything. We could get to the point where it dries our bones, whereas we're dead. But it says a merry heart, laughter, is a great medicine. It's proof of a happy spirit. You ever been around somebody that never smiles? You ever been around somebody that never laughs? Oh, what a miserable person. I believe if you could see the face of God, I believe you'd see a smile. I believe it's time you see laughter. I know that God's got a sense of humor. Every time I read that about in Numbers, in Exodus there, where the children of Israel complained and God gave them quails, and he said, I'm going to give you so much quail, it's going to come out your nostrils. I know he's got a sense of humor, and I know he created us to laugh. How much better is things when you're laughing? So much better to be around somebody that laughs and cries, isn't it? You got to be around somebody, let them be laughing. Laugh often. I believe we'll laugh every time we can. You say, well, listen, there's times to be serious. Yes, they are. There's times to be serious, and there's too many of them in life as it is. We need to look for opportunities to laugh. We need to look for opportunities to be happy. And listen, all you've got to do is get this thing in perspective about who God is and what he's given you and what he's blessed you with, and then laughter becomes pretty easy. It becomes easy. And how great it is to be able to have a family that you can laugh with, a church family you can laugh with, and like to have fun. There's nothing more that I enjoy than to have fun, than to cut up with people and all this. And yes, we all know about serious, and church is a serious place, but I believe that God, if he says it's as a medicine, then the Bible teaches that the church is a place for the sick, then listen, there should be some laughter in the church house. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with coming into church and smiling and picking on Pat and having a good time. It's laughter. It's like a medicine. It's needed. So I'm thankful for laughter. Lastly, I'm thankful for liberty. Liberty. I'm talking about true liberty. You may say, I live in the land of the free. Yes, we do. I believe, again, I'll say this, I believe we live in the greatest nation where men has given their lives so I can stand right here and preach the Word of God. I can go to any street corner, and as far as I know, in most cities, it's still not even illegal. We can go do that thing. I can go do as I want. I can still buy a firearm if I desire to do so. I can buy any color car I want. I can buy any kind of house if I can afford it. I can buy anything. I can be a doctor if I so desire. I can do anything that I set out to do because I live in a free nation. So that's what we understand about being free. But what I'm talking about being free is free spiritually. Free spiritually, not bound by those sins. Listen to John chapter 8, verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You can live in the United States of America, and you can be bound. You can be bound to sin. You can be bound by addictions. You can be bound by many other things that can hold you. But once you get a hold of this right here, you get a hold of the Son of God, then according to this Word of God, you're made free. Indeed. You're as free as you can imagine. You can't imagine how free you are at this point. I've never been in jail. Lord willing, I hope I never am. But I've heard people talk about it that have been. And when they're set free, oh, what a liberty they say there is. Sadly is, most of them, a big majority of them, return. They don't know what to do with that freedom. They're used to being in this place and having somebody tell them everything to do. And when to do this and when to do that. We can't understand about being free, but listen. When the Son of God sets us free and that Spirit comes in to wells us, then we understand what it is to be free. We are free indeed. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer a slave to the things of the old life. The Bible teaches you're a brand new creation, created in Christ Jesus. You have been set free. No longer bound to the things. Free from all sin. Free, that means past, that means present, that means future. You are free from it. What a miserable life it is for those who believe that sin, that once they come to Christ, that they can be without Him again. Oh, what a miserable life it must be. I've talked to people that lives that way, believes that way. And according to the Word of God, that is not true. It says the Son of God shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. Never again can that sin, listen, it can. I understand we can go back out in sin. We can do that things. But our sin, once we come to Jesus Christ, is forgiven. It's released. Even says it over here in Psalms 103, and I didn't pen this down because I just noticed it as I looked down a while ago. It says, He had not dealt with us at all of our sins, not rewarded us according to our iniquities. As far as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as have removed our transgressions from us. You can't measure how far the east is from the west. You can go west throughout the universe and you keep going, never intersect with east. That's how far your transgressions has been removed. You, my friend, if you're in Christ Jesus, you are free. You're free indeed. Free from burdens, if we'll take His word and believe it. He teaches, I think it's in Matthew, consider the lilies. And neither toil nor reap. Oh, how beautiful. It says Solomon in all of his glory, and he's beautiful as one of these. Then it says, consider the sparrows. They don't have to work. They don't do anything, and God feeds them. God clothes them. He says, how much special are you than a lily or a sparrow? How much more beautiful are you than that lily? And how much more do you mean to God than that bird does that He takes care of and He nurses it and He clothes it and provides everything for it? And the problem I get and I get burdened down with is I bring it on myself when I forget to see who He is. And because He has made me free, He doesn't desire me to be burdened by all the worry of this world. You look around, you see people. You go to a store, you look around, you can see it on their faces. They're a burden. Especially the time of year we're coming up on, the Christmas season. We've took it as a time for some way to think that we should spend all of our money to make people happy. We should get us a credit card and run that thing up to as high as the limit to go. So those little kids, when they get there in Christmas morning and we show our Christmas tree on Facebook, look like there's presents all around us. Oh, people love doing that. They show the Christmas and they take it back and there's presents all over the whole house. Somebody ought to start one of them challenges to put out the credit card receipt. They wouldn't be near as happy about that one. But He set us free. We enslave ourselves. Because we forget to see who He is. Free from this world. I want you to think about this. We're going to close. We are free from this world. The Bible teaches we are pilgrims. And we're on a journey. We're on a journey to a land that God has promised. That said, a city not made with hands. Where the Son Himself is a light. Not the S-U-N, the S-O-N. There's no need for the S-U-N because the S-O-N is there. He is the light. Nothing can ever bring any darkness to that glorious place. We're on a journey for that land. And friends, if we can get that through our heart and minds, we can be free. And we can truly have a time of thanksgiving this upcoming week. We set aside this Thursday to be thankful. Sadly, Friday will get here. Y'all know where I'm going. For all the things we're supposed to be thankful with Thursday, we forget about and we run over our neighbor on Friday to get a deal. Don't make a lot of sense, does it? Thursday, we've celebrated everything we're thankful for. Friday, we're out here for $5. We'll spend 2 days in a parking lot. We put so many burdens on ourselves that don't belong. You've been set free. I challenge you this Thanksgiving season. I challenge you. Take some time. Take you an hour, if that's all you can spare. But take you some time. You get down your Bible. You get in these Psalms. Psalm 100 is a good place to start. And you begin reading. You go on over. Getting close to Christmas. Go on over to Luke. Read about that gift that was given. And you be thankful for the life that God's given you. Be thankful for the love. Be thankful for laughter. And be thankful for liberty. You could go on and on the things we should be thankful for. But most of all, we should be thankful for a risen Savior. Death couldn't hold him. Hell couldn't do anything with him. He overcome it. He's victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Never again can sin have a hold on you. You have been set free. Be thankful this season. As Pat comes, as we all stand, maybe you've been burdened. This holiday season, as they want to call it. You notice that they don't like to say Christmas anymore. The Christmas season's coming. What we allow to happen in our society is to get us to a point where we dread it. We dread it. We dread the crowds. We dread all this because we have let it determine what we have to do. Don't fall into that this season. This Christmas, starting today, be thankful. Be thankful for the life. If you can think about this, and it makes your head hurt, one of them things you can't figure out. The God of all universe that spoke everything into existence that there is. I believe that's the Word of God. Except for man. He formed him out of the dust of the ground. And then the Bible says he did something. He breathed life into him. Life come from the breath of God. And that God that did that, Adam wasn't the only one he created. Every human being that's ever been since Adam, God created him. This God that created all this, for some reason, wanted to make you. And I've thought about this a lot. God, why did you want to make me who I am? Why did you want to put me in the family you put me in? Why couldn't you put me in a millionaire's family or this and that? Why couldn't you have done this? All I can tell you is his plan, his way is perfect. But even after you understand how great it was that he gave you physical life and that he formed you, you were separated from him from that fall in the garden. And he desired to have a relationship with you. There used to be a song out in the Red Book, which is a lie, that said he searched through heaven to find a Savior. He didn't search through heaven. He didn't take God by surprise that man was going to sin. Before he ever created man, he knew the plan of salvation. The only begotten Son would be given to reconcile lost humans back to a holy God. So not only did he create you, his physical life is a miracle, he created a way that you could be back with him in relationship with a holy God. You may be here this morning and you don't know him. You don't know God. You've never met him. The Spirit of God may be tugging at your heart, maybe letting you understand that you don't know him, that you're lost, that you're undone. Would you come to him this morning? Would you receive him as your Savior? Oh, what a Thanksgiving you could have. Don't let anything keep you from him, from that great life. As Pat plays, you come. You need to pray about anything. You come to this altar this morning. Don't worry about what people think, because they're just as bad as you are. And you cry out to God and trust, and I believe he'll answer.